hein, pour Simon Bakindé, le boxeur de Ponsat Maxence, 88,5 kg sur
le travail. Et
il a bien fait
3.
Ah, j'ai bien cru qu'on allait prendre 91 kg sur le rable.
C'était bien parti, hein, parce que là, il ne le laissait pas partir de ce coin-là.
Hi everyone, I am sitting here with my mentor, Simon Bakindé, and he's also known as The Phoenix. We are here in his boxing gym, Simon's Boxing Club, in Palm Beach, Florida, and it's where I spend a great deal of my time. And I wanted you all to meet Simon so you can get a sense of why I am so inspired by the time I spend with him here in the boxing club and everything he teaches me. First, just a little bit of backstory on how Simon got to Palm Beach and where he comes from and his journey. Simon, you grew up in Cameroon.
Yeah, until 10 years old. My mom, who is a brave woman, decided to move to France late 70s, 1977 exactly, and later on came to get us in Cameroon and brought us to France. I was 11 at that time.
And your life in Cameroon was fairly stressful, it was fairly dramatic there. And you had to learn, is that where you feel you got your courage and you've sort of laid the foundation to become the man you would become?
The life that we had in Cameroon, it was very challenging. But because of that life, I'm here today. It's a jungle life, the roughest part of Africa that anyone can see on TV. And it was tough. My mom brought us to France in Europe. And because of that hardship, here I am today in Palm Beach.
And still, there was one more stop along the way, right? There was Cameroon to Paris, and then Paris to New York, and then New York to Palm Beach, right?
Exactly. Well said. The chronology is perfect. So my mom brought us to France. I was 11. And then from 11 to 28, I live in Paris from this little jungle kid who know nothing about what is the city. Specifically, I mean city. I mean one of the most beautiful city in the world, Paris. Then grew up there, went to school, like everyone, did well. Was doing great actually in school. But I just didn't know what I wanted to be later on in life. And my second year going to college, I told my mom, I said, I don't think I want to go back to school next year. And she's like, what you gonna do? What you mean? I said, I don't know what I want to be. I don't want to work for anyone. I don't want to be in the office. And she was panicking. And you know, my mom was, she didn't have a man at that time. So it was very difficult for her raising three kids, two boys, one girl. And she started panicking. And I said, don't worry, mommy. I will find a solution. I will find something that I'm gonna love and you will be very proud of me. So I started boxing at the age of 19. 2 years later, I turned professional. With 16 amateur fights, 15 wins, only lost one fight. And my coach at that time applied for me to turn professional and the federation just approved it because I had like basically 90% of success. From 19 to 28, I fought amateur, professional, rise to the number 10 in the world. And then I decided to move to the US to get this party going and better because the US have the best when it comes to boxing. This is back in 2001. And since then, this has been my country. I love the U.S. I really hope everyone get a chance to experience this beautiful country that is America. I landed in New York, stayed in New York from 2001 to 2002. And I moved here last year with my wife and two kids. And we're very happy here. We love it here in Florida. We love Florida.
Thank goodness you landed right here on my doorstep. And it's a funny story because I was getting this itch to want to throw a punch and throw punches. I was missing the karate or something. I was like, I've just got to. And one day, Electra and I were walking down the street and we look up and we see Simon's Boxing Club. And we come in and we meet Simon and that was it. That was in January.
That was it. That was it. Yeah.
I haven't spent much time out of the club ever since.
Since then, it's like Natalia and I, we become like really big buddies. I'm just slightly older than her, but that's okay. So I'm the bigger brother now.
Yeah, I needed a little bit of
big brother and a mentor, but it's mostly like a big brother.
Total mentor, total big brother too, all of it, but the best. I'm so grateful for you. Changed my life meeting Simon. Elevated, you know, my life was already pretty elevated and it just like took it up 1,000. So I'm so grateful.
Yeah, and I'm grateful as well, you know, meeting you and your kids. You have really raised amazing kids. And I can't applaud you more and congratulate you for doing a great job. Your kids are amazing.
Thank you.
And they're amazing because you're amazing. So it's really a plus to, you know, meeting great people, great souls like you, having them in your life. And people like you, we have to, we really have to make sure that we keep you around and enjoy and every single second that we can have, because only God knows tomorrow. So, like, every single time I see you, I'm like, I want to see you the next day. I don't want to, like, oh, I see you next week. No. So, like, all the time, as much as we can enjoy. Of course, I love sharing with everyone else because I want everyone to enjoy this beautiful human being that you are. But so anyone that's around you should enjoy and have you as much as they can, because you're not going to be here forever. People have to know that. Wow, that's the reality of life.
That's so kind. Wow. And you know, it's so mutual. Like, I treasure you and our friendship and what you bring out of me. Like, you bring the best out of me. When I first came in, Simon was like, so when was the last time you were actually fit? I'm like, well, I kind of think I am now. And I was thinking,
you remember that?
Yeah. Like, what do you mean not fit? Like, we're fit. And now I understand, you know, now he's completely triple layered, next leveled me. I'm like, oh, I get what it means to be fit now. But it's just the beginning still. It's, you know, it's just opening up all
That's
this.
Right.
And we reach these limits. We think that we have achieved something. And then it's like there's so much more within us. There's so much more we can access. So I'm so grateful that Simon's been able to show me that. And, you know, the joy we can have from the physical exertion and from seeing what we can become is just extraordinary. Actually, let me go back to what made me choose you to mm-hmm. be my mentor. Okay. And it was relatively immediate. Within like the first hour, I was like, wait a minute, this man has so much to suffuse into me. I want to have
this
what
is the right
you've
word.
Got.
I like that. Fuse. That's what it is. And that's is the reason why I chose to actually teach boxing. Because I knew that I have something that can actually enhance other people's lives because of my experience, because of what I went through mm-hmm. and what I know today. And I'm in a very serene place that I can transfer that and elevate other people's lives, bring more value to their lives.
Yeah, basically, I looked at Simon and I thought, I really want to have what you have. I want to be like you.
Yes. Yes.
And that's how we choose our mentor. I mean, basically we the only way to glean that is from someone who embodies it. And then we recognize it when we see what we need next, we recognize it and what's placed in front of us. It's like the greatest gift ever. This way Simon has of being, his natural joy, his ease. You used another word just a moment ago, that sort of just being in such a place where you could give. I forget what you said, but essentially it's this the state of being. Simon, you're always smiling. You're always happy. You're always great. Like, you know, the police come by and they can't wait to come in and say hello to Simon. Simon's like, you know, he's just so beloved because of all he has to give. And this is all the work that we're doing. If it doesn't bring us to that point, then we're not actually becoming empowered. We're not actually clearing out what needs to be cleared out. We're dancing around it. So when we're doing the right work, it makes us more loving. It makes us happier. It makes us more at ease. It gives us a greater ability to smile throughout the day whether, you know, there's someone there or not. We're just smiling. So yeah, your smile just, yeah, it lifts everybody up, and it's always on. It really is always on.
It's always on.
And that comes from strength, the overcoming. And, you know, people want to have an easy life. They want comforts, but actually that's not what brings happiness. It's not what brings that effusive exuberance of life. That exuberance comes from overcoming hardship. And so one of the things I see a lot in this on this path, in this journey, is people who want to become better. They want to overcome their limitations, but they don't actually get there because they're so kind of hypnotized by their comforts. So maybe it would be
discomfort,
right? They've become too comfortable with their pattern, whatever their pattern is. So they've adjusted, they've learned to cope and sort of band-aid the difficulties with, and then, you know, and soothe themselves in various ways, but they're not necessarily healthy ways. You know, a lot of people say that they, you know, they're still in cycles of overeating or, you know, in patterns that they know are not healthy, but they can't get out of them. So Simon, what would you tell people who are stuck in their patterns but want more for themselves?
One of the struggle that most people have is that either they're stuck in the past or stuck or like being projected too much in the future. And the truth is, real joy is really on the present. And that's one of the reasons why I always smile, because very few moments that you're really gonna be living in the present and having a tough time. If you're really in the present, most things around you are good. But if you look at your past, you're like, oh, maybe I had this struggle time with my dad, with my mom, with my coach, whatever it is, and then you get stuck in that moment. Or there's something you want in your future and you can't stop thinking about it, and now you're missing out the present. So I feel like people just need to learn and repeating like a mantra consistently that only the present really, really matter. Mm-hmm. The future, if we're lucky, if we're blessed enough, maybe we will. But we don't know. Mm-hmm. But we know now. Mm-hmm. The now is the one that we have to live by, not what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday, a lot of times, you know, there's always something to complain about. But you can also use the bad experience on your side, mm-hmm. right? In every bad things, there's something good to learn, something good to take on. But it is true that pain have a lot of power over goodness. It's like you could be having 99.9% of like sweet time, and then 1% of bad time literally erase all your 99% of the good time. But when that 1% arrive, occur, people need to look what happened, why, and then maybe use it to get better, maybe to get stronger, maybe to get faster, whatever it is, mm-hmm. instead of using it as a victim. This thing doesn't happen overnight, and also you just don't, you know, live life like that in one day and then everything's just gonna be that way.
You train it
and you gotta live by it every second, because every second something will happen. Mm-hmm. But when you live by the code of like paying attention to the present and living on the present, you know, you will be a much happier person, and you will be able to actually not erase or eliminate the past or the anxiety of what's going to come in the future or what's not going to come, but you will live a much better life.
That's really helpful. You're a champion. You're not a champion because you didn't overcome. The sense of centeredness and ease of being that you have let's not mistake that, that comes from the fierceness in you. So you know you can't be overtaken. You are the king of the jungle.
You're the king of the jungle. You got to walk hard.
Yeah.
You got to walk hard. You got to be, like you said, fearless. You got to be consistently on. And that's how you make it look easy, mm-hmm. but it's not, it didn't come easy. It become easy, mm-hmm. but you got to work for it.
That's the thing. And that's what I want people to really get is that wonderful ease comes from all that you've developed within you.
That's
so
right.
So that you're indomitable. Mm-hmm. So how do you build that if you don't have that?
I think everything is like, everything come by baby steps. A baby learn everything word by word, one by one, step by step. That baby have to crawl, have to like, you know, wiggle around and tremble and shake, grab things. So how you do that, I think first you got to make a decision to be a stronger person, a better person, a smarter person. Stronger, when I say stronger, I'm not talking about stronger physically, I'm talking about stronger emotionally. So you got to make the decision. When you make the decision, usually we will find our mentor. When the student is ready, you will find people that are going to show you the way. When you do that, when you get these things, then now everything going to start to come together. You will meet the people that knows how to get there.
And you can identify it.
Exactly, because you know what you're looking for and you make the decision. And those people will start showing you the steps. And then, of course, they're not going to put all the pieces together. It's like a chain, you know, but like they're going to be linking one piece by piece, one piece by piece. And then all of a sudden you realize that, oh, I didn't know how to stay away from food. And now I know how to stay away from food. I was eating everything all the time. And now I know how not to eat all the time and not to eat everything. Only eat what my body really needs. Mm-hmm. It's not a magical thing. Like people like me, like someone like me, when I decided that I want to get married and have a woman in my life, I literally, in my head, I was able to visualize it. And then, of course, the woman just don't come to you. You gotta look for it. And then I see a woman, and then another woman, and then another woman. Then one day, I saw a woman walking on a park. I was like, looking at her, I said, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And I went after that woman, and that woman become my wife today. So, you know, you have to make a decision. You have to visualize what you really want, and you get to work. And you go to work, you will have people, you will have things around you that are going to conspire for your success.
Perfect. Yeah, you commit and you envision and then you go for it. In the interest of helping those who can't see their life without their addictions, without their overindulgences, they can't even really imagine that it's possible for them. But there is a formula for getting out of it. Part of that formula is the strength development. It is the dedication, the discipline in maybe another area. Maybe you're not going to try and discipline away from the overeating, but you're going to discipline your body or your mind. And so in becoming stronger, you're no longer in the same pattern.
Right. The road to success starts from acknowledging, recognizing that you have weakness somewhere. Most people know. You can't. The first person you're lying to is yourself. Mm-hmm. So most people know what they're lacking, what they're missing out. Mm-hmm. You know, when they start to listen to you, in the beginning, there's like things are hard because you know the habit's been there for a long time. It's not, doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but they see a little result and they want more. A little result, they want more, and then want more, get better, stronger, eating less, eating better, mm-hmm. eating less. It's like, oh, this is the way.
Back to those baby steps.
Those are the baby steps.
Yeah. and you can't take your eye off the ball. You have to keep applying.
That's
right. And that's the commitment. Every moment you're recommitting. It's
yes.
not like you take a break from it, because often you'll have people who say, oh yeah, I'm committed. You know, that's what, that isn't that what everyone does on the first of the new year, right? They make their resolutions. Oh yeah, I'm committed. But by midday on the afternoon, they've already like given into half of the things.
When you get to that road, it doesn't mean that you're going to be 100% strong mentally all the time. There's moments where the weakness can come back again. Mm-hmm. The devil is always hunting you. He's mm-hmm. always like watching when there's like a little weakness here so I can get him back or get her back, mm-hmm. right? So you have to know that, you know, these moments can happen, mm-hmm. but you don't give up, mm-hmm. you know? So if anything happened, they said you give up for a second, catch yourself back.
Since we have the great fortune of having a champ in our midst, I would love for you, Simon, to speak about the mindset of a champ and how we develop a mindset of a champ.
Oh my God.
What goes on in there?
This is a serious one. This is a very powerful one. The mindset of a champ is something that is like, you got to get into the ancient warriors and, you know, the samurai and all these like great warriors that we know. Very few people will be like the Spartan that we know. But everyone have a little bit of a Spartan. Everyone doesn't have to be the top of the top of the top of the Spartan. Mm-hmm. But everyone have to have a little bit of a Spartan blood. So the mindset of a champion is something that you really just have to develop the grit of never, ever give up, no matter what. And you're always looking for more difficulties, because the harder it is, the stronger you get. This is like the thing that we use in martial arts, we use in boxing, because boxing is a martial arts as well. For people who don't know, boxing is not a combat sport like everyone thinks. It's really the street science. It's the European, Western Europe street science martial arts that we have created it.
Street science,
that's how we call it.
Okay.
Yeah, street science.
Street science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've heard that
term
before.
Yeah. And that's the older way of calling boxing.
Okay.
The street science.
Sweet.
Yeah. Perfect. Boxing is martial arts. It's not a sport where, you know,
getting fit
or just like, let me learn how to throw a couple of punches to go fight with people in the street. No. It's virtue, is a mindset that you get yourself into, like you really actually never wanted to use, unless if it's necessary. But you want to be as bad, when I say bad, meaning as great as possible, so that in case you have to use, in case you have to protect your family, in case you have to protect your community, in case you have to protect your friends, one day, mm-hmm. you have the full potential to do so. You want to be as dangerous as possible, but under control. You don't want to be the weak, and you know, the weak sheep, so that everyone can be like, oh, Simon's just a nice soft guy. But a nice soft guy is a liability. Mm-hmm. It's useless. Mm-hmm. What are he gonna do for our society? What are he gonna do for our community if there's a need? Never know. Our mindset is always, you never give up. You always embrace the challenge. You always embrace the hardest part of it, so that you can get harder, not softer.
Mm.
And as like I always even tell you, I think I use this expression a couple of times. Like, we know harder make you stronger. Mm-hmm. We know softer make you weaker. In the difficulties, you will get grit. You will get stronger. You will get better. You get smarter. Still in the survival of the fittest. Mm. It's evolution. The strongest, the paranoid, survive.
Unpack that, because I think that's a hard thing to get for people to get their heads around, but it's brilliant, but I want people to understand what you mean by it.
Yeah. When I say paranoid, the paranoid will survive, I'm going to use an image. I'm walking in the middle of a crowd in like a festival of Rio de Janeiro. They have those festival like once a year, is completely packed, and I'm completely oblivious, walking around, not paying attention, and there's fire starts somewhere. I will die. But if you're paranoid about danger, doesn't mean that you're not having a good time, but always paying attention to what's happening around you. The minute there's a fire starting somewhere, you will be the first person to know that there's danger, and you will be able to save yourself or even save for people.
You have a peripheral awareness.
That's right. And that's what the fighting game, you know, martial arts teaches you, that get you ready for all these things, because it's always out there.
Be dangerous.
Be paranoid.
Be ready to save.
Be paranoid in a good way.
Yeah, you're protective.
That's what it is. Protect that
which deserves to be defended and protected. So, as you guys know, we are getting to the authentic self by doing this work, and only the authentic self can get us to our highest, fullest potential. We remove the artificiality in order to find that. We do that body, mind, heart, soul, and spirit. So, I would love, Simon, as probably the most authentic person I know, for you to speak to that and what that means to your life code, and how you would help someone get to that authentic self and to see the value of their authentic self.
Like I explained earlier, once you go through the journey of making a decision of who you want to be, what you want your life to look like, and all these things, then now you have to make the other decision that you don't want to be like everyone else. You just have to be you. And doesn't mean that if you like stuff into your life, if you want a nicer house, beautiful car, whatever, that is not good. It's good. This is what we're here for. It's good, but this thing doesn't make you. You true self if you're in the power. That's where everything comes from. You make things. Things doesn't make you. And
say that again. You make things.
You make things. Thing does not make you.
Okay, that was really good.
Once you understand that, then you understand that you are the power. You are the power, and you can do anything you want. You can achieve anything you want, and nothing can stop you. Only yourself.
So this, all this artificiality, this searching for things, this sense of a need to conform and to be like what we're told, what's put into us is what we should be and how we should look and how the world should perceive us. How do we best release that?
Once you recognize and acknowledge what matters to you, and you have to stick by it, because that's what's gonna make you happy.
But so many people are confused because they think what matters to them is the stuff that they were entrained to believe and hypnotized to believe.
So how do you indoctrinate it?
So to get out of that lane where you're doing what you know, it's the artificial value as opposed to the value you were trained to have versus finding what really is a value to
because you.
Because
you know what doesn't make you happy. You got to make sure that what you're doing for yourself is really good, right? It's not fulfilling some type of like ego and, you know, like selfishness and all these things. But if you do the right thing for yourself, you're doing the right thing for everyone else. Mm-hmm. You have to live by your words. You can't just talk. Yeah, most of the time you see people change, they're changing, they're going from left to right, right to left, north, south, because they don't live by the words. Mm-hmm. You know, your words have to, you know, follow your actions. If your action doesn't follow your words, and then it's empty words, you change. The minute the next person come in with a better idea or something, you know, more like newer, then you go with the new things.
The decisions that you make that rule your life, that you run your life by, are making you better all the time. They're working for you all
That's
the time.
Right.
They're working for your kids. They're working for your wife. They're working for your family structure. They're working for your clients. They're working for your club. They're working for your community. And that's where, you know, being firm and making decisions that may not be popular, that may not be, you know, easy, but you maintain them and you're constantly, you know, reflecting on them. So you're not going to be, you know, lazy about holding on to something that might need to go, but it's a vigilance.
Yeah. Honesty.
But it's distinct. It's strong. It's clear. And because he's in his ease, you might think, well, you know, oh, well, he's just laissez-faire. It's the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been that way. You know, even when I chose boxing, My own mom was like, boxing? What? Huh? What you gonna do? I said, don't worry, I'll be in a good place and you will be very happy and proud of me. And she's very happy and proud of me today. You know, she had, you know, my mom had, she had some tough times with family. They used to tell her like, why you let your son, you know, choosing this route, you know, supposed to, you know, make sure that he's, you know, stick with college. And my mom is like, my son is 19. This is what he wants to do. So I always have that mind. I always have that mind, like once I recognize what doesn't make me happy, like I said, you know, I have to do something about it.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. why, that's what people need to learn or need to know, that if you recognize that something doesn't make you happy, you got to do something about it. Or someone doesn't make you happy. Or you're happy, but someone just disturbing your happiness, because that's also another thing. You could be in a good place and then someone, a situation come along and start to disturb it. And then what you do, you gotta walk away. Because sometimes you cannot just, you know, push the other person away or the situation. Sometimes the situation is just too big. Who am I to change the politics, to change the mindset? So I move, mm-hmm. I got out.
You find a way, you find a path. You know what you know what is working for you, what's not working for you, and you
That's
make
right.
those adjustments constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one of the biggest takeaways that I would love for our viewers to realize what they've seen today in you is they've seen someone whose body, mind, and heart are in perfect alignment.
That's right.
And that's what this is all about. All of the measures we go to in this work is to make that happen. And I suppose when I saw you and I saw that this person, I mean, what I captured was, it was like my antenna picked up on that alignment and it was like, bingo, this man has got it.
That's right.
And that's what it comes down to. So, you know, we're sitting here very, very comfortably speaking about all of these things when we're typically working it out really, really intensively physically. So, you know, it's hard to capture just what goes on and goes down when the body's being pushed, when Simon's getting the most out of me and seeing what I can most receive and what I'm ready to learn, what I'm not ready to learn, all these things that he's calculating as he's training me. But that's like, you know, the sweat and the effort that's exerted physically. You're seeing that same activity in his mind and in his heart and how that has extended into every aspect of his life. There's not a part of his life that hasn't been touched by and that isn't fully integrated into who Simon is and what he's about. And that's what we all need to have, that level of alignment where we're not doing something with our actions that are not where our mindset is. Everything has to be acting in unison.
That's right.
And that's what you're getting with Simon. And that's what I wish for all of us.
Just to close, people have to understand that boxing, martial arts, all this sports or art, we're using the physical part to get the mind greater, because that's the limited, you know, the physical part is very limited. The muscles, they get old, they get tired. Everything gets old and tired, but the mind will never get old and tired. Until you understand that the true power is here and here also.
That intense training, when you have to push through, you're training your mind and you're training. It's the courage, the emotion of
mm-hmm.
the heart,
mm-hmm.
the desire, the desire and the mind working and the body working together, all for the same aim, which is to be as great as we can possibly be, not for our small personality self, artificial world self, so we can go out and like, you know, look better, but because we can actually be so much more, we can really reach get closer to our full potential.
That's right.
Which is our spirit.
Amazing.
Simon, thank you so much for taking the time to do this today and share all this with everyone.
It's a pleasure and really I can't say this enough. It's a pleasure sharing, you know, my experience and my life with you now, and also exposing me to you, you know, to your people, to your crowd, and I can just tell everyone that they're very lucky having you in their life. This woman is like, she's telling you how authentic and committed I am. This is who she is as well. A very committed person, very authentic. You cannot find more authentic and committed than, you know, Natalia Rose. Beautiful name. Yeah, her last name, no, actually, her last name is my wife's middle name, Rose. It's funny. So I have all the roses in my life.
You got a bouquet.
I got a bouquet. I got the white rose, the red rose.
Thank you so much. Kind.
Thank you for having me.
Till next time, we'll do this again.
We'll do this again, yes.
All right, thanks everyone. Lots of love.
Il allait couler. Eh bien, belle victoire de Simon Bakinde. Ah, qui fait se lever la salle Léonard.